We're going to continue in our sermon series entitled God, the Holy Spirit, and His Work. And I want us to remember that all of these gifts that God gives His church, as we talk about the fivefold ministry today, we talked about apostles last week. This week we'll talk about prophets. Remember, these gifts aren't gifts just to be given, but to be used for the strengthening and the maturing of the body of Christ. There's a need there. So remember, this has a purpose, what you're learning. So knowledge is good to learn, and I want us to keep growing in doctrine, but we want to have that knowledge, not just to have it, but to use it in the church and use it for the glory of God. If some of you don't know, I grew up in a hyper-charismatic church. Do anyone have hyper-charismatic background in their churches? Don't raise it like you're ashamed. That's pride right there. I'm Pastor Dave. The thing that will happen is, let me temper this right here. People loved Jesus. They still love Jesus. Many of them had fantastic intentions. Many of them were on fire for God. But what happened, there was much goofiness that went on. It's the best way I could put it, in a loving way. A lot of goofy stuff went on. Can I get a low amen? A lot of prophecies that never came true. A lot of goofy stuff. Let's leave it there because we got many weeks to talk about this. But I remember when I first started following Jesus, what happened was people were using the gift of prophecy, and when it was used well, it was so powerful. Like, it was transformative. Like, people would affirm your calling. People would encourage you when you're down. People would even say, you know, you might have some trials coming. Be ready and overcome. So the Spirit would move in people in a very healthy and normal way. And people would speak healthy, sometimes normal, just ways. Like, listen, I think God's calling you this. You know, they didn't throw the thus saith the Lord on there. Like, we had those people in the church, right? We say this, thus saith the Lord. What'd you just do to us, dog? Did you just write a book of the Bible? Is that what just happened with that thus saith? These people were very normal. And they'd say, listen, I think God's calling you this. Maybe even you need to repent of this sin. Maybe you're convicted. You know, you're in this sin. Ever have someone, this is what prophecy, and we'll get to it. Someone say, listen, I don't know why I'm saying this, but I feel you're walking in this sin and you need to repent of it. And all of a sudden that conviction comes and you said, man, I've been feeling that. And I'm glad you spoke that to me because I need that for my life. So that's where prophecy can be powerful. And what I don't want us to do, because this is, I'm a very safe person. I wasn't when I was young. I was wild. All of a sudden, you have kids. I was ultra safe. All these had bumpers on it so the kids don't hurt themselves. You know what I mean? All of a sudden, I turned into a super safe person. When I went through a hyper-charismatic church and I saw all the abuse, what I wanted to do was totally get away from any kind of gifts because I said they're too dangerous. They're too dangerous. I can't be around this goofiness anymore. I can't be around another year of the harvest. I mean, how many times can you give a prophecy as the year of the harvest? For those who've been there, this is the year of the harvest. It cannot be every year. You guys hear what I'm preaching? So what happened is I wanted to get away from it. I didn't want to just put a seatbelt on. I wanted to run away from the whole thing. I don't want us to do that as a church. Because God gave the gift of prophecy for a reason. And it's peppered all throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament that we need the gift of prophecy. So I don't do this much, but this is going to be a two-part sermon series. I don't usually do it, but I would have you guys hit an old Pentecostal style to Monday if I tried to get this all into one sermon. So what we're going to try to do is we want to lay the foundation of, remember last week we talked about uppercase apostles and lowercase apostles. And it was important to give tiers there because tiers show authority. And I think a lot of the confusion that happened, at least with me, and I'll talk my own personal experience with many people too, is when someone gave them a prophecy, they didn't know how to test it. They didn't know how to weigh it. It was like, is this the word of God? If I disobey this, am I wrong? Is this just goofy? Is there some foundation to this? So I want us today to lay the authority of what an uppercase apostle is, why we need prophets, uppercase prophet, why we need prophets, and is the gift of prophecy for today. We're really going to grow in this. We're going to unpack this so you guys have more knowledge, because what I want to do next week is talk about how prophecy should work in a healthy way, not a goofy, not a scary way. You know, you don't want to scare people in church. Everyone agree? It's scary enough coming to church to scare everyone in here. We want to say, how do we use the gift of prophecy? Because God the Holy Spirit has given the gift of prophecy. And as far as I can see in the scriptures, it doesn't say it ceased. My safe side wants it to say, okay, let's just be safe. But God gets to move by his Holy Spirit to give prophetic words, prophetic dreams, and words in season for each person. That's what the scriptures, as far as I can see, are telling us. And it's for our good. Can we turn to Ephesians 4, 11 through 16? We're going to read this for the next 4 or 5 weeks because I want us to really get into our mind as we grow theologically. And he gave the apostles, we talked about that last week. And he gave the prophets, we're talking about this week. The evangelists, the pastors, the teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we attain the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Take that in your mind. We're receiving these gifts so we can be more like Jesus. We need these gifts so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up. I want us to hear that. Grow up and mature in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint in which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so it builds itself up in love. So what's the goal here? We want each gift to function properly and healthy so we grow up in maturity in Christ, and so the church grows, it reaches the lost, it glorifies God, and the mission of God is advanced. Do you guys hear how serious this is? We have to function in these gifts to grow in maturity. And if we start throwing gifts away, we're not able to grow in maturity in the fullness of Christ that he wants for his body. So let's ask this question. What is a prophet? As with our discussion of the apostles, I think it's helpful to understand. Let's start with that uppercase P, prophet, just like the uppercase A, apostle. Look at it like this. It's a simple way to understand it. Basically, the prophets, uppercase, wrote your Old Testament. If you look through that, and we'll go through some names, you look through, you just see like Habakkuk, Haggai, names you can't pronounce. And you're like, what is going on here? That's the prophets. And what they were the mouthpiece of God. They were the mouthpiece of God. You were scared when a prophet came into town. Like, you're like, why is he here, dog? Is he gonna convict us? Is he gonna rebuke us? Is he gonna foretell? Is he gonna reveal all your sin you didn't repent of? You repent immediately because you didn't want him to call you out on that. Because when a prophet spoke, that was the actual words of God. And I want you to hear this, because in the Old Testament, that's how God revealed himself. And I want to keep coming back to this. There's a difference between speculation and revelation. How did God reveal himself in the Old Testament? Through the prophets. When they spoke, they were speaking the very words of God to God's people, and there was no questioning their authority, their authenticity, and they were followed by mighty signs and wonders. And I want to talk to you about this group so you can see the distinction of unique calling and unique authority of the uppercase prophets. Moses. How can we not start there? Moses, even in the Bible, they talk about greater prophets and greater. They give tears even in the Bible. Moses is arguably the greatest prophet that ever lived. Let's just think about his life for a minute. He becomes a prince in the greatest empire on earth. God divinely throws him in a basket. This is how you know God's in control. And if you haven't seen Prince of Egypt, that's the best kids movie you can watch with your kids. It's almost perfectly theologically sound. They throw him in a basket. They send him down the river. Now imagine God sovereignly moving that basket right where it needs to go. Every detail, gators, they don't get him. That's from Prince of Egypt. They go all the way down. he lands in the right spot to be brought into the house of Pharaoh. God's ordaining. I want you guys to start seeing. There's no accidents in your life. Brokenness, happiness, there's no accidents. There's not a bird that falls from the sky that the Lord hasn't ordained or allowed that to happen. So once you get that kind of chance, luck, accident stuff out inside, sovereign, God, providential, all those things, you start understanding how God moves. He moves Moses in the house of Pharaoh because he has a plan for him actually deliver the slaves, the Hebrew slaves who are in Pharaoh's and Egypt's custody. Moses grows up, no idea what God's going to call him to. God, I'm skipping a few chapters here, reveals himself to Moses in a unique way. Holy of holies, take off your sandals. I'm revealing myself. You're not going to speculate who I am. Let me tell you who I am. He actually sees a part of God, which is absolutely miraculous. God gives him the Ten Commandments with God himself right with his fingerprints on stone tablets of how to live as a holy people, how to treat each other, how to worship the one and only holy God. Moses gets commissioned to go to Pharaoh and say what? He declares prophetically, let my people go. Pharaoh doesn't listen. This is a prophet with power. When you don't listen to a prophet with power, what happened? Unbelievable. They're still making movies about it. The Nile turns into blood. Hills called down from heaven. Firstborn sons die because they're, by refusing the prophet, they're refusing God. Do you guys see that? That's uppercase P fitted in the sanctuary. That's a big P. Right? You see that? Then let's go from Moses to Elijah. Elijah was no joke. First of all, he was a ruffian. Right? He was a ruffian. Elijah raised someone from the dead. Elijah called fire down from heaven. Elijah never saw death. Listen, when you lived your life so good that a chariot of fire comes down, driven most likely by angels, and take you off, you're walking in a way that's pleasing unto God. Can we get an uppercase P for that? Okay? He came out the gate, and he's prophetic in the time of King Ahab. Ahab was one of the most evil kings. He's showdowns with people who claim other false demon gods. He's showdown. He's calling down fire. He's rebuking them for their sin and their idolatry. They're trying to track him down and kill him. He's running away. He's a wild man. He's a prophet. The power of God he has. He's in that category of authority. Let's go to Isaiah. Isaiah would foretell so much powerful stuff about the Messiah. And this is why I want to be encouraged about your faith. Jesus didn't come and people just wrote about him. They wrote about him thousands of years before he even came. And that was done through prophetic foretelling. So the prophet Isaiah, about 8th century, starts foretelling of the coming of the Messiah. And let me read you a few things just to remind you how powerful this is. Roughly 700 years before Jesus is even born. Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and he shall call his name Emmanuel. Why? Why were we ready for the Messiah to be born of a virgin? Because a prophet, an uppercase prophet, prophesied it 700 years before. So when the people saw that Jesus was born of a virgin, that sign pointed to the fact he was the Messiah. Isaiah 53:5, we shouldn't be surprised that our Savior was murdered on the cross. It wasn't by chance he was born, and all of a sudden people didn't like him and they pinned him to a cross. That was prophesied 700 years before, thousands of years before. Isaiah 53:5, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed. You see that the Messiah is going to suffer. That the Messiah is going to be crushed. That the Messiah is going to be pierced. That's what the prophetic gifting does. In Isaiah 53:9, it says, and this is a nice little detail for you guys to know to build your faith. 700 years before, and they made his grave with the wicked and with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence and there was no deceit in his mouth. They prophesied he'd be buried in a rich man's tomb. 700 years before. All these details that you saw in the gospel, God was revealing, this is how the Messiah is going to come. He's going to die. He's going to be buried. He's going to be rise again. He's going to rise again. Those are things that the prophetic gifting does. Now, let me give you some of those names when you look through your Bible so you understand the prophets speaking through the whole Old Testament. Samuel, mighty, mighty prophet of God, heard the voice of God audibly. Isaiah, we just talked about him. These are names of seminary kids. If you look at this, every seminary student names their kids these. Jeremiah. Jeremiah was called from such a young age. It was so tough for him to prophesy that he said, curse the day I was born. You want to talk about suffering? He said, curse the day I was born. I'm called to prophetically preach to people who want to kill me, who won't listen to me. You got Ezekiel, and we know of his mighty visions. We got Daniel. If you don't know Daniel in the lion's den, come on now. You got Hosea. You want to talk about a tough life? Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah. Jonah didn't even want to be a prophet. He got called to be a prophet. He all got on a boat and went the other way. Isn't that human nature, right? I'm called to do this. Where's the quickest boat out of here? These were real men with real sinful hearts. Get me out of here. Put me on a boat. You got Micah. You got Nahum. You got Habakkuk. You got Zephaniah. You got Haggai. You got Zechariah. You got Malachi. These men had unique callings with unique authority that I want us to recognize. Like the scriptures said, the foundation of our faith was laid by the apostles and the prophets. The uppercase apostles and the uppercase prophets, that laid the foundation of your faith. They had the utmost authority, and the words they write in scripture, we cannot question. You don't have to test. You don't have to weigh. They are the very words of God. Because sometimes we don't want that gift of prophecy. And I called to check on the story to make sure it was a good illustration. But I bought Cliffy knee pads as a gift. You know, I usually get them a little hoop, a little Nerf hoop or something like that back in the day. You know when you get like socks or something, you don't want it. You're like, I don't need. Why you get me socks? Why you get me clothes? Like a kid looks at clothes when you buy them. You feel like, I don't really need this gift. So I decided that year, I'm getting him something he needs. He's getting old. He played too much basketball. I'm getting him knee pads. So when he works around the house, he looked at me and said, knee pads, i.e.? Knee pads. He didn't realize that he needed these knee pads. So I wanted to give a call because I want to see if I had a good sermon illustration. I called Dawn. I said, listen, I need you to tell me right now, how much has Cliffy used those knee pads that he didn't want? She said, all the time. Every time he gets down, he has those knee pads on. Because sometimes we don't realize that we need gifts. Sometimes we don't realize what we're missing out on. We want just the glamorous gifts that aren't really needs. They're like accessories. But we need the gift of prophecy for the church to go forward in power. And I want to talk just why the prophetic gift is so important and why God chose to use this gift. Because God chose to use prophets in a powerful way. First of all, prophets reveal God. We know, do you know why we know God is loving? Because the prophets revealed that God was loving. You can't just proclaim God loving, because that's why many people speculate, they look and say God's not loving, right? The prophets said God is loving, he is patient, he is kind. They also said he is jealous, he is wrathful, he brings judgment. They are revealing the very nature of God to us. Because people make a million assessments of who God is. The prophets shared God is gracious and compassionate. If you follow him, he will bless your generations to come. We know that because they're revealing that to us, that God is love, that he is patient, that he cares for us. And you even see, people didn't like the prophets. They kept killing them. They kept stoning them. That's our nature, right? God sends his prophets, his mouthpieces. What do? We throw stones at them because we don't want our darkness brought to light. We don't want to repent of our sin. But God reveals himself in the fact that he even kept sending the prophets even when we kept killing them. Until finally, he sent the greatest prophet and we murdered him too, Jesus. Do you guys see that? Even in Jesus, we keep killing the prophets. We don't love them. We're stoning them. He's still saying, I'm so loving and kind. I'm going to keep sending prophets and finally send my own son for you. They revealed to us the love of God. The prophets foretold, as we told all the time. Not only did they foretell, everyone was telling of the Messiah. They tried to keep people away from harm. You ever hear someone try to say, you listen, don't do this because this is going to happen. And you're like, okay, I'm going to go do it. People say, don't do this. The prophets would tell whole nations, repent of your sins and don't do this because you're going to receive the consequences. And they didn't listen to the prophets. They would foretell and try to get them so they didn't have to suffer, so they didn't have to be exiled, so they didn't have to be in slavery. But they didn't listen. They also foretold some great thing like eschatology. They foretold the end times, the coming, the millennial reign when Jesus comes back and restores his kingdom forever. There were some great foretellings of the Messiah and those kind of things, but prophets would foretell. And finally, actually two more, prophets convict. Prophetic words convict you. I want to give you an example of someone when a prophetic word came to them, they actually repented. When the prophet Nathan came to David, David was actually in adultery. And he came and told the story, and I've shared this with you guys before. He said, listen, there was a rich man and there was a poor man. The poor man had one sheep that he loved. He treated it like a dog, like a pet. He cared for it, he loved it, he groomed it, he'd feed it. Then the rich man had guests over, and he had many, many sheep. But he stole that one sheep from the poor man, and he made dinner out of his sheep. He said, David, what would you do to this man? It's a prophetic word. David said, I'll kill him. And Nathan said, that man's you, because he had done what with Bathsheba. He had actually had many wives, and he went up on his roof one day, saw her bathe, and he's watching pornography. And he says, I want her. He takes her into his home. He gets her pregnant. He wants her to lie to her husband and try to sleep with her husband so that it seems like it's his child. And then because that doesn't work, because he's a noble man, he ends up having him killed in battle. So what ends up happening when David realizes it's him? He falls to his knees, he weeps, and he repents, and he never does it again. That's what prophetic words are supposed to do. He did receive consequences, but he spoke to him in a prophetic way that exposed his heart. That's what prophetic words will do. You ever hear the word of God and you just get uncomfortable in some good ways in your seat? Like, that dude's talking about me. Right? Everyone just got real uncomfortable when I told that David story. Man, people were like, I should stop watching that, dog. Repent. Repent. Some of you need to repent. I just felt it as a pastor. Repent of the things you're watching. Because it's not Christ-like and it's sinful. You need to fall on your knees and God can change you. Prophets, on top of convicting people of sin, the fourth thing they do is they affirm your calling. You see, Samuel came into town. Everyone got scared, but he was coming in for a good reason. He came into town and he anointed David king. Prophetic words will affirm your calling. They will call you to be a pastor, or a teacher, an evangelist, or a deacon, or a servant, or someone in mercy and say, I really think you're called to this. That's what prophetic words do. So finally, are there prophets for today? Like we said last week, there's prophets today, but not uppercase, little lowercase prophets. And let me explain this to you so you see why. And if you want to turn in your Bibles, you don't have to, but I'll read this. I want to show you why New Testament prophecy is not the same authority as Old Testament prophecy. And you really to see that theologically. So in Acts 21, God the Holy Spirit has already been poured out on his church. It says in Acts 21:4, and having sought out the disciples, we stayed there for 7 days, and through the Spirit they were telling Paul not to go to Jerusalem. So Paul goes to be with the disciples. They start prophesying to him through the Spirit. They say, don't go to Jerusalem. Through the Spirit, the scripture said. I'm going to leave you there, bring you the next verse, and we'll bring it all together at the end. Acts 21:17. While we were staying for many days, a prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. And coming to us, he took Paul's belt and bound his own feet and his hands and said, thus says the Holy Spirit, this is how the Jews at Jerusalem will bind the man who owns his belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. I'm going to bring you over to verse 33. And the tribune came up and arrested him and ordered him to be bound with two chains. He inquired who he was and what he had done. So Paul is said, they say, don't, they prophesy, don't go to Jerusalem. Then a guy comes and says, this is what's going to happen to you. He bounds his hands and feet if you go to Jerusalem. Paul goes to Jerusalem and he's arrested by the tribune, by the Romans. What does that teach us about prophecy in the New Testament? First thing is, Paul would have never disobeyed Moses, Elijah, Isaiah, anyone who spoke with the same prophetic authority as the Old Testament. So they prophesied to him, and he went anyways. What does that show you? New Testament prophecy doesn't carry the same authority because Paul would have listened to it. Secondly, when that guy prophesied, he said, the Jews will bind you. What do you read in the scriptures? The Romans bound them. So this teaches us another important thing, that New Testament prophecy is not infallible. It can have error. Even though it was almost 100% correct, it had an error in it. He would go to Jerusalem, he would be captured, he would be chained, but not by the Jews, by the Romans. Important note here, guys, because some people say, if it ain't 100%, man. Listen, reason it's not 100% is not because it's not inspired by the Holy Spirit, it's because we're not uppercase prophets and it's prone to human error. That does not mean that prophecy is not helpful. You guys hear me? This is important stuff you're learning that we're laying the foundation for next week. And this is even more shown. If you look in 1 Thessalonians 5:20, this is what Paul says about prophecies. And let's hear this today. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything and hold fast to what is good. Did Paul ever tell you to test scripture? Did Paul say, hey, maybe keep Amos, throw up Obadiah, get Habakkuk and keep Haggai? No. You never question scripture. He said, don't question scripture. It's the authority of God. Don't test it. Don't weigh it. Don't hold on to fast what's good and throw away what's bad. When New Testament prophecy is saying, if you hear New Testament prophecy, hold on to what is good and throw out the bad. So what was good about that? That prepared Paul, but they were a little off when it came to who would bind him. Do you guys hear? There's a lot of truth and wisdom in that right there to understand the difference of authority when it comes to prophecy so we don't throw everything out. You know, it also, when he tells us to test prophecy, so if someone comes up and says something to you, this is what messes people up. Thus saith the Lord. If someone asks you out and said God told them you're going to marry them, they're trying to work the system. Do you understand me? Listen, baby. God told me you're mine. Let's do this. No. You better weigh that. If you like them, okay, you heard from God. You know what I mean? What I'm saying is, when someone comes up to you and says, any thus saith the Lord, you're allowed to weigh it. And what happens with people when they fall into all kinds of confusion, they're like, this person said it to me. What if I don't follow it? What if it's not true? What if it's not this and that? You have the right to discern. And this is what hurts the church so much. Everyone's so afraid. And we'll talk about afraid. We'll talk about blasphemy of the Holy Spirit in the coming weeks. Because I know even talk about the Holy Spirit scares people. But everyone's so afraid of blasphemy of the Holy Spirit that they're afraid to discern what is good and what is bad. When the scripture is saying, in church, sometimes people give you prophecies that are off, that don't hold good, and you need to get rid of them. Do you guys hear what I'm preaching here? I want to free you guys to do that because I'm telling you, it messed up a lot of people's lives. You know? I got a prophecy I'd be an instrument when I was younger, and all of a sudden my parents bought me a saxophone. I hate saxophones. I had to play that stupid saxophone a half an hour every day. And I'm like, just because this dude's giving you a word, I got to learn this thing. And who knows? I'm just saying, sometimes people act like it's a scripture and try to form their whole life around it. And it becomes dangerous. Some people are laughing because it's happened to you. Maybe it was the trombone, accordion, who knows? But it's also to protect you from false prophets. There's a lot of false prophets out there, and many of them are on TV. And I'm telling you, because I'm responsible for this congregation, I'm not telling the world, I'm telling you guys, that 90% of the people on TV, something ain't right. And you need to discern. Stop sending your money to these people. Stop doing it. Because many of them are charlatans, and they're taking advantage of you, and they're taking advantage of other people, elderly people, gullible people. There's this one prophet that had the endorsement of the big prosperity preachers that actually charges $1,000 a prayer. And he calls gullible people on the phone, elderly people who don't even have their wits at times, and they give contributions. And he has a house in Maui and Cali and Florida, everywhere, and he takes advantage. He's a false prophet. You're allowed to look there and say, something's not right with that. He's glorifying himself. He's not accurate. It's about money. You're allowed to do that. Test and weigh the prophecies, but do not despise prophecies. And I'll close here because I want us to go to next week because I think we have the foundation of authority. Do you guys understand the authority here? And we're heading the right direction, and we'll hit New Testament prophecy a little bit more on how it can function in the church next week. But I'll give you a way, because I want you guys to understand, and I can only use myself as an example. Everyone has their own experience. But prophecy was so powerful in my life that it brought me to Jesus. Do you understand me? Prophecy brings you to Jesus. It points to Jesus. So I remember the first time I was 7 or 8 years old in a little church in Medford, and the preacher was preaching, and he was going. And he stopped the whole thing, and he looked at me. And it's my first experience with prophecy, and I wanted you to see how it worked out for good. And he said, you're going to be like Johnny Appleseed. You're going to be sharing the gospel everywhere. Do you know what that does for a 7 and 8 year old when God is using that? That begins to shape your mind and say, God is calling me to do something. There was nothing goofy about it. He didn't say, thus saith the Lord. He just says, I really feel like, take this to heart. God's going to call you to spread the gospel everywhere. Imagine what prophecy can do in all of our lives when people speak it well. When they say to you, listen, God's calling you to this. Or listen, beware of that. Or listen, God loves you deeply. You can see it through his son, Jesus. Can't that be an unbelievably powerful thing? Isn't that something that we want to desire and pray for, like the scriptures say? Scriptures say desire that gift. So I want to leave you with that. And next week, we're going to pick up in part 2 on how that actually operates in the church in a healthy way. Let's pray.